All those here in the sanctuary, everybody listening online or on the radio, grab a Bible this morning. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Grab your copy of God's Word. Grab your fork and knife. I like to call that my pen, my pencil, my marker, right? We're going to chop it up today and find a good morsel to eat this morning to feed our souls. A truth that we need to realize. And truth, listen, it has to do with my family this morning, my faith, and also our future. What is in store for us? And the word that Paul gives us here in Hebrews chapter 11, it's interesting. The individuals that he brings together in this little portion, these three verses we'll look at this morning, in verses 21 through 23, faith that you and I need so that we can finish the race. We're running a race of faith, and we need to reach the finish line. And in order to do that, we've got to build our life on the promises of God, to believe his word. These patriarchs, they had a promise that was given to Abraham and passed along to each generation. It was conveyed, blessed on the next generation. And praise God today, the God we worship, praise the Lord, his word is good for every generation. Amen? An eternal God has spoken a word that's relevant to every age. And the truth that that eternal God has spoken, listen, he's not going to change. The word's not going to change. We can put our faith in him and put our faith in the future, which he holds, and we can bless our families with the truth that we've discovered. And we should. My life, your life, should demonstrate that on a daily basis. And so Paul here gives us three episodes, three pictures from the book of Genesis about the patriarchs. Not Father Abraham. We've already seen him and several instances in his life where he exhibited faith. Now we get his son, his grandson, his great-grandson. We get to see how that faith is seen and made evident in their lives. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And it's interesting that the author, Paul, here, he gives us just these pictures. I mean, you think about all the examples that he could give us of their faith, of their exercise of faith. Sometimes they were not exercising faith. That also is there in the account in Genesis. But he gives us these examples to inspire you and inspire me to choose to believe God, to go forward in faith all the way till we finish. And for Isaac, I mean, he could have given us the picture of Isaac walking by faith, trusting the Lord when there was a famine, a trying time, and resting in the promises that God would supply for him there in the valley of Gerar. And he could have given that, but he chose something totally different. Jacob, he could have given us a lot from the life of Jacob. The need to walk by faith and to trust and rest in the promises rather than wrestling with God. How many of us do that for the blessing? Rather than resting in it. And yet, what's fascinating is he doesn't talk about Jacob's experience of receiving the blessing, but of him conveying the blessing and passing it on. And then in the life of Joseph, I mean, all throughout the second half, pretty much, of the book of Genesis, you have the life of Joseph, so much is given to us as a picture of walking by faith. And yet, it's amazing. It doesn't give us the instance of the faith he had to have when he was imprisoned, or the faith he had to have when his brothers, of course, sold him into slavery, or the faith that he had to have to lead a nation. But the interesting thing, like the other two, it has to do with the next generation. And so it's interesting. He puts these together. He brings them together because it deals with our faith, the exercise of it, our family, which we want to bless so that they will receive the faith, and our future and theirs as well. And let's just be honest, we need to be doing that today. Man, that's what we need to do, leading our families by faith. God wants us to lead our families in the faith. He wants us to model the faith, to exercise the faith, so that your children and my children, they see in us that we are faithful men. We just sang that Steve Green song, right? That those, when they sift through all we've left behind, will there be something that they discover that illuminates them, that is a light for them, that points them to him? That's what we desire. That's what we want. We want to bless that generation and encourage them to take the baton in their generation and run for Jesus. Amen? That should be our desire. That's what we're going to see, I believe, here in this text in verses 20, 21, and 22. So I want you to stand with me and honor the word of the Lord, because he hasn't changed and he speaks. And this word speaks to us. It's alive. It's living. And our heartbeat should be, God, speak to me today. Give me a word that isn't just for me, but it's for my children seated with me today, my grandchildren seated with me today. Or maybe I'm going to see them at lunchtime, and maybe I can inspire them. Notice what he says here in verses 20, 21, and 22. Now, all of these exercised faith. By faith, notice, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, the Exodus, and gave instructions concerning his bones. Father, thank you. Our future is secure in your hands. It's secured by the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, that faith that we possess, Lord, it's not for us to keep to ourselves. It's for us to share with others, particularly our family and our children and grandchildren. And our prayer is, Lord, we would bless them, and that, Father, we would orient them and point them to, Lord, exhibit faith, exercise faith, to go forward in faith and run this race. And that, Father, they would do so, and that we would see multiple generations of faithfulness. God, today, Lord, if we're going in the wrong path, Lord, or Lord, we're not taking serious walking by faith, Lord, thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you can change our direction today. And Lord, may we have the faith and the repentance necessary, Lord, to experience that transformation in our lives. And even today, as we saw in the first service, Lord, there may be some who need to take the first steps of faith to follow Jesus. And so we pray that your Spirit would birth that faith in a precious heart today. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. And thank you, Lord, as we run this race, Lord, there's a reward for all who come and follow in faith. Let that be us today, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, all of their faith exercised here, a faith that blesses the next generation. You notice each dad extended a blessing to his sons, Joseph to his grandsons, but still the point being that the generation that's coming after us, praise God, we can inspire them and bless them and point them to follow Jesus just as we have. And Isaac, and interesting, all of these, Isaac and Joseph and Jacob as well, all lived by faith and did this. Of course, Isaac, of course, had heard a word. Now, it's interesting over in the book of Genesis, you can write in the margin of your Bible, Genesis chapter 25. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, of course, had the twins within her womb. And as they were in her womb, they were wrestling. And Mama was like, what's going on here? And she was, you know, calling on the Lord. She asked of the Lord to give her some understanding of what was taking place there. And the word came to her as she inquired. God answered. And he said, let me tell you something. Here's what's going to happen. The two that are wrestling within you, the older will serve the younger. Now that word came to Rebecca. I hope she told her husband, but you look in their life and you realize as they parented those children and raised them, of course it says there in Genesis chapter 25 that Isaac really liked the game. That is, Esau was a hunter and he loved to eat the game that Esau hunted and cooked. And that Jacob was favored by his mama, Rebecca. And what we see there is as they parented those children, I'm not sure that they maybe weren't one sometimes, but they clearly had their favorites. But what we know is God had spoken to Rebecca and revealed something about those two individuals that were wrestling within her room. They were wrestling for the blessing. They were wrestling for the favor. And what's interesting is they, you know what, when God blesses, you don't have to wrestle for it, right? You can rest in it and know it's yours and it's promised in his word. Now, did God know? Yes, of course he did. He knows all things. But is the reason that he chose Jacob over Esau because he knew Esau would forsake his birthright and not consider the value of it and disregard it? You remember when he was hungry and he came in from hunting and he saw his brother eating that bowl of porridge, that bowl of soup, and he said, "Give me something to eat. I'm about to die." And he said, "Well, give me your birthright." And he said, "Okay, I'll swap with you." And now, if you really understand your birthright, you wouldn't give it away. But Esau did. And Jacob wanted it. He wanted that blessing. But what's fascinating is it was his even before he was born. Because God had said the older will serve the younger. But when the boys come for their blessing, they come, dad's eyes are dim. That's what's highlighted here, that Isaac blessed these two, Jacob and Esau, concerning the things to come, their future, what was coming after them. And this is when, of course, Isaac couldn't see. He was blind, and some would say he was blind spiritually in some ways because he was about to bless Esau when God had said that blessing really was for Jacob. And what's amazing there is Rebecca, she hears daddy saying to his boy, "Go kill some game and come back and then I'll bless you." And she says, "Hold on a second. That's not the plan of God. There's another plan. Jacob, go get a goat. Kill the goat. I'll cook it up and make a savory meal. And you put those goat skins on your arms because then it'll be hairy like Esau's arms. And then we'll feed your dad and he'll bless you." And we know the story. That's exactly what happened. They had that plan. Of course, that made a brother angry with another brother, so much so that Jacob had to flee for his life because his brother was so angry. But it's amazing. The author wants us to see something here about the blessing that is passed from a father to not just the son, Jacob, but he also blessed Esau. And some ways you might want to look at that and go, what are these future things to come concerning Jacob? What are these future things to come concerning Esau? And why even highlight Esau at all? I mean, he's not in the line, right, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Why Esau? Well, maybe the author wants to see several things here. What was this about Jacob? Well, concerning Jacob, here's the amazing thing. He would have dominion over his brother. He would be, listen, blessed with the blessing that came to Abraham. It will come to Isaac, and it will come to Jacob. In fact, it says there, like Abraham, "I will curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you." And ultimately, that is the seed that's in Christ. That blessing is upon all those who bless those who are in Christ. And the cursing, if someone curses those who are in Christ, man, there's going to be a cursing upon you. Don't live your life that way. That blessing was extended there to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that blessing is something that's realized to this day. The seed that would come from Jacob, as Galatians tells us, ultimately Christ. Praise the Lord. That's how the blessing came to the world. And that reached us. I'm grateful for that this morning. I hope you are as well. The blessing wasn't just, though, for those promises that were given to Abraham. There's a blessing also, that he says here, to Esau. Why Esau? I tried to figure this out. Why would you even consider Esau? We didn't consider Ishmael. Why? Well, understand this. There are blessings in this temporal world, and there's blessings in the eternal world. Amen? Esau represents in so many ways a love for the things that are earthly and temporary. And Isaac, when he blessed him, of course, being a son of Abraham, Esau was going to be blessed. But beloved, listen, the author is helping you and I to realize there's something far better for us in Christ. There's something far better for us who walk by faith. In fact, he's already said that up in verse 16. Remember, the patriarchs who had the promises, they desired something better. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Why? Because he's prepared a city for them. All those who walk by faith, beloved, we're walking as pilgrims through this earth. This world is not our home, amen? We are walking to the heavenly Jerusalem, Zion. We are walking to his throne there in the city that he is preparing for us, the heavenly city whose builder is God. You and I, our lives should mark that by the way we live and realize that there is a distinct difference between the things that are temporal and the things that are eternal. It is too easy to get caught up with just needing the temporary things in life and calling on the Lord for those. But beloved, let's live for the things that are really of eternal weight and significance. That's where your faith should be oriented, particularly as we bless the next generation, and we want them to experience that. Now, Dad, listen. Dads, like me, we have great potential in our home to bless our children. In fact, I'm always encouraged when I read through the book of Job. Every morning, Job, when he woke up, he prayed for his sons. He prayed, he offered a sacrifice, and that God would show them mercy lest they went astray. Listen, we should do that as men, blessing over our home, praying over our home. In fact, sometimes when our little ones go down, sneak in there when they've gone asleep and say a blessing, or pray with them before they go to bed and pronounce a blessing. Bless them, that God would show them favor, that God would smile upon them, and that they would orient their hearts to trust in Him. Let's do that. Let's lead our families and bless them, and not wait just to the end of our lives to bless them. And moms as well, listen, the responsibility that and the ability to influence the next generation in the faith. Realizing that your heart is their playground, where you live by faith like a woman who fears the Lord, smiling at the future, as Proverbs 31 would say the woman who fears the Lord does. Smiling at the future because it rests in God's hands, and He's a faithful God, and inspiring that next generation and blessing them and orienting them and their hearts on Him. That's what we should do. Let's not wait till the end of our lives, as is evidenced here in these three examples. Let's do this each and every day. But let's bless them. And let's bless them with the faith that we have received. You say, well, no one in my family brought the faith. It was a stranger. Well, that's a spiritual mom or a spiritual dad who helped by the work of God in your heart and the grace of God, the faith came to you. Praise the Lord for that and start something new. Let that blessing extend through you to the generations that are to come. Abraham, or David to Isaac, and Isaac, of course, blessed his two sons concerning the things that were to come, both their temporal life and, more importantly, their eternal promises, their blessings that were to come. Now, the blessings that went to Jacob, he didn't keep them to himself. He blessed his sons. That's the next verse. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, so again, just like his daddy, at the end of his age, he didn't bless his sons, though. Yes, he blessed his sons, but he blessed the sons of Joseph. That's his grandsons. Why would he bless his grandsons? We know over there in Genesis chapter 48 and chapter 49, you have the blessings of his grandsons, the sons of Joseph, but also of each son. All the tribes there are represented. Each one of those sons, he blessed them as well. But why two portions for Joseph? And why this emphasis on Joseph's two boys when he was at the end of his life worshiping the Lord on his staff? Well, again, we're all pilgrims. We're marching through life just as Jacob did. And of course, he could highlight many things in the life of faith of Jacob, but he didn't. He highlighted this. Why? Again, the future. I want my children to experience it. I want my faith to influence them, and I want them to be blessed. And I hope you do too. But not just my children, I want my grandchildren to be blessed as well. Amen? I got to see my precious little grandbaby yesterday. What a joy. And to be able to play with her for a little bit, and it was just too short. Now you got to come back, you know? But enjoying that time. But I want God's blessing and favor upon her. In fact, I got grandchildren that I haven't even seen yet, but I pray for them even now. They're not even born yet. I'm hoping for a bumper crop one day, right? And my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren and my great-great-great-grandchildren and my great-great-great-great-grandchildren. You see, I've got a promise from God. Listen, when we walk by faith, that He extends His mercy to the thousands. Why wouldn't I pray for God's blessing and favor upon them, even if I haven't seen them yet? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I'm trusting, I'm believing, and I believe God wants faithfulness to multiple generations. By the way, that's what He said over in Deuteronomy 6. Fathers, teach your sons and your grandsons to fear the Lord, to love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have that responsibility even when we're empty nesters. You're not. You and I have that responsibility to bless. Joseph brings his two boys to his dad. His dad, Jacob, is at the end of his life, Genesis 48. And as he brings these two boys to dad for his blessing, he's thinking, listen, dad's going to extend his arms and he's going to bless Manasseh and he's going to bless Ephraim. So he puts Manasseh on this side so he can have the right hand of his father blessing Manasseh's head. And here's Ephraim. And so Joseph presents him. And why does he get a double blessing? Well, I think, in the scripture, it's amazing. Did we know that Jacob did favor Joseph, and he was the firstborn of his mom? And in that sense, there was supposed to be a double blessing. But really, the ultimate blessing didn't come through Joseph. It came through Judah, right, with our Savior, the Son of God, who came to give his life for you and for me. But as he brings his sons to their grandfather, what does he do? Well, dad does reach out his hands to bless them, but as they bow their heads, does this. And he starts to bless them. And it's really interesting if you stop and think about this, our future, right? He's blessing their future. And as he does it, Joseph opens his eyes. He's peeking. And he says, whoa, dad, no, put your hands back, right? Why? Because he wanted the blessing on Manasseh as the oldest. But again, what does God show us about our future? Well, beloved, it's not in our hands and we can't manipulate it. It's in God's hands. And I need to be reminded of that. Listen, I don't know the future for all of my seed. I don't know the future for all of my children. I do want God's favor on them, whatever it is. And I have to realize this, especially as we parent, they aren't always going to do what I want them to do. Amen? Oof. Yeah. But I still want God's favor on them. And I need to trust that future. It's in his hands to him. And rest in it. And choose to believe that he is good. And he will receive glory. And he will do his perfect work in his time. And I think it's interesting here. As that blessing goes to our descendants. Jacob, of course, will bless all of his sons. But here he blesses his grandsons. And remember, God's ways are not our ways. They're so much higher. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're so much nobler and brighter and better. But can we rest in that as we pray for and ask for God's blessings on them? Now, the extending of that blessing that went to Joseph's sons, then he mentions Joseph himself. Now, again, notice this is at the end of Joseph's life, just like Isaac, just like Jacob. Now, notice, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, what did he do? Well, he made mention of the future. What future? The future Exodus, the departure of the children of Israel, and he gave them some instructions concerning his bones. What was he telling them? Well, he could have brought, Paul could have mentioned many other things in the life of Joseph who walked by faith, but here he mentions when he was dying. And when you read about that over in Genesis chapter 50, and you reflect on the life of Joseph, and you think about what he could have said. He doesn't talk about his past. What was his past? Well, at age 17, his brothers didn't like him. And what did they do? They wanted to kill him. And they almost did. But instead, they sold him off as a slave. And he was taken down there to Egypt. Easily, he could have been upset with God and not walked by faith. But he did. And there, when he was in, he was purchased as a slave to serve in Potiphar's house. And when falsely accused, he was cast into prison. And there for 13 years, all the hardships that he incurred. I mean, every reason you could think of, as not only being carted away to a foreign country, living in a heathen land, surrounded by idolaters, probably never really coming into contact with another child of God. But there, learning, listen, all he has is the word that has been spoken to him, the word that has been given to him, but it was enough for him to rest and trust in God, even in the midst of all that. By faith, listen, he didn't look at his past and all the what the world would say would be an invitation or, you know what, it's okay. You know, if God's treated you that way, go ahead, throw in the towel. He doesn't know. Joseph doesn't do that. He remains faithful and so should we. No matter what trials and circumstances we go through, beloved, realizing it's all in God's hands and he's going to work it together for good. In fact, when you go and read the psalmist over in Psalm 105, what's fascinating when he reflects on the life of Joseph and he considers there all that he experienced and all that he didn't understand, but God had a plan and God had a purpose. It says over there that, listen, that God called for a famine. God had a plan. It was all in God's God's plan. There was a famine that would take place. And while they didn't understand what was going on, it was part of God's plans and purposes. He had sent Joseph ahead. Remember, that's why later in his life, he would reflect on that and look back and go, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. He had eyes of faith to believe that, to understand that. And sometimes, beloved, we need to have eyes of faith like that too. Amen? But what's fascinating is even there, when it says, you know, he was imprisoned, the author of the psalm there, reflecting on that, it says that into his feet were put in irons, right? He was chained. He was bound in a cell there. But it says in the Hebrew, it says, but into his soul, his nephesh, into his soul, God poured steel through that circumstance. What does he mean? You ever heard of the phrase, you know, steel your spine, right? Be able to stand when it's difficult. God was preparing Joseph for something greater that would happen in the future when he would elevate him and use him to not just preserve Egypt, but to preserve Israel and preserve the seed that would come, that would be the Messiah. God had a bigger plan that none of them understood, but Joseph, by faith, simply obeyed and went forward. Now, what's fascinating, none of that is recorded. What he focuses on is on the future. What future? Well, the departure. The departure of the children. Why? What departure is he talking about? This is the Exodus. And how would he know about that? I mean, that's still 230 years away. I mean, that's the life of our nation. It's still yet long in the future, yet to come. Well, how is he going to know that? Well, there was a promise that was made 200 years before that. A word that was spoken, listen, not to his daddy, not to his granddaddy, but to his great-granddaddy, Father Abraham. And you know what that word was? That word was, listen, there's going to be a season where your children, your seed, will be down in another country until the sin of the Amorite is complete. But then I will bring them back in that day. That's the only word we have that was given to Father Abraham, which evidently was passed along because Joseph understood it. And he understood, listen, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God, what some can mean for evil, God might mean for good. And God can work that. Beloved, I'm telling you, in these evil days, sometimes I have to believe what some mean for evil around us, God's going to work for good. And I have to trust him and go forward in faith and take him at his word. He's talking about the future. God's going to be faithful. He's going to keep his promise to Father Abraham. He's going to bring his children, his seed, out of Egypt, out of bondage. God has the power to deliver. And so on his deathbed, he expresses such faith. You see, here's why it's important. That's on his deathbed. Esau on his death, or Jake, Isaac on his deathbed, blesses the two boys. Jacob, as he's dying, blesses his children, his grandsons. Joseph, when he's dying, makes mention of the departure. And I thought about this, and so oftentimes, why is it that we wait until the funeral and we hear about the faith? And why wait to be that long to have a testimony that someone shares about our faith? Beloved, that should be something that happens every day. But yet when it gets to my funeral, I want someone to speak a good word that I had faith even all the way to the end. Why? Because you see, on our deathbed, it is a reflection of, to a great degree, of the race we've been running. And whether our faith is resting in God and his promises. If there's anything I could say to you today, listen, make sure your children and your grandchildren, listen, and your great-grandchildren, if you're blessed to have that many generations, make sure they know your faith. Don't wait. Tell them. Celebrate it. Remind them why you trust in God. Remind them how God has been faithful. Remember how God has spoken a word and you've trusted him and you've seen the evidence of it played out in your life. Don't wait. Tell them now. Make sure you're faithful in telling them that. And as you do that, then there will be a day where they will rise up and they will celebrate and they will rejoice that you taught them the faith and that that faith inspired them, listen, in their generation to grab the baton and run the race faithfully. Now, beloved, even in the face of death, stop and think, even in the book of Hebrews, as we've been reading, as we've been studying, as we've been learning about having enduring faith, why in the face of death should I be even more encouraged in my faith? Well, we know this. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. That's in Hebrews. That's coming. But this is the point of Hebrews. Listen, just as the wages of sin is death, and we're going to experience it, we've learned that there's one who's paid a penalty for that. Jesus. He's offered a sacrifice once for all time that's sufficient, that makes us acceptable to the Father. That God, listen, God can take your sin and my sin. The debt's been paid, and we don't have to pay that debt. Praise God this morning. And that priest, listen, that offers that sacrifice for us is the Lord Jesus. And now we can face death securely in him. We don't have to be in fear, because he's the resurrection and the life. And I can run this race of faith, as we're going to learn in chapter 12, fixing our eyes on him, knowing our future is secure, whatever he may do, and that whatever he may bring, he's going to be faithful to bring it all to pass, his plans and purposes in my life. And I can live in light of the future today and run this race of faith. And we should be inspiring our children to do just the same. That there's coming a day of deliverance. Do you believe that for us today? Oh, praise God. I'm looking forward to that one day. That one day we're going to be delivered out of the bondage, not of the Egyptian bondage that we got. We got the Babylonian bondage today, right? But we're going to be delivered out of that and be safe and secure. There's a future departure for us as well. In fact, I'd not have you be ignorant, brethren, as Paul would say over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Don't be in fear about those who have died. Like they've missed out. They haven't. No, beloved, there is a day where there's going to be a resurrection. There is a day where that trumpet is going to sound, and there's going to be a snatching away, a rapture. There's a day that's coming, listen, where there's going to be a reunion with all those who've gone before. Praise God, we should live like that and know that there is a day coming for the departure of God's children. Joseph, listen, as he speaks of the Exodus, he spoke not having experienced it, but he spoke as one who knew God had promised it. And we can do the same thing. You see, I know the word. Do your children know the word that you believe this word? That Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me. And one day he's going to come back. And he's going to take me to experience all that he's being prepared. Do they know that? Joseph would say, my children knew that. My grandchildren knew that. And our family should know that. They should know where our faith rests, especially for the coming departure. They need to know that. Tell them. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Tell them today. Our children should know that we have a faith. Listen, not only until that day, I have a faith in a God. Listen, a faithful heavenly Father, a good Father. He gives good gifts to his children, who's going to sustain and strengthen and supply everything I have need of, even in the trials and circumstances I go through in life, just like Joseph did. When you stop and think, let me tell you about how God's been faithful in my past, he's going to be faithful in the future. That's what Joseph had the opportunity to do right here. And beloved, you and I have it each and every day. You have to admire the faith of the patriarchs. And you say, well, they're the covenant people of God. That blessing that was given to Abraham and passed on to them. They were, as it says over in verse 9, they were heirs of him with the same promise. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, this promised seed. Hey, are we the covenant people of God? Last week, we observed the Lord's Supper. We ate that wafer of bread, a reminder of a sacrifice that's been made for us, a sufficient sacrifice. Praise God for that. But we drank that cup. And what is the cup a reminder of? That cup is a reminder, listen, of the blood of the new covenant. We are the covenant people of God. Praise God, we've been grafted in. Praise God, the promises are yea and amen for us in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, as his people now, we have a living hope. We've been given an extended precious promises. In fact, if you flip over just a couple pages to 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter would say there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, listen to this, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And so Peter would even say over in verses 12, 13, 14, 15, that I'm going to remind you, I'm going to stir up by way of a reminder, I'm going to stir up by way of a reminder after my decease, after I'm dead, I want to remind you why, that one day I'm going to put off this tent and I'm going to put on Jesus, because I'm going to experience an exodus. Peter says the same thing over in 2 Peter chapter 1, that basically Joseph was saying to his children there and reminding them, there's coming a day, beloved, there's coming a day where we're going to get out of this world. Praise, if you're living for the temporal blessings, the temporal things of this world, beloved, it doesn't compare to what's in store for us. Live with your heart on eternity. Live with your heart facing the future, knowing in whose hands it stands. It rests. Trust in him. And let your children and your grandchildren know of your faith resting in Jesus. Don't be ashamed of it. We need to inspire this next generation. I'm grateful for what we're seeing and the faith of this next generation standing firm, even in the face of the things that have happened recently with Charlie Kirk and all of that taking place. Praise God, we need more of that today. And church, we need to be there to show them, to give them the example that, listen, faith goes forward every day, one step at a time. Trust, believe, know what God has said. Take him at his word. Build your life on it. You and I should know and rest that our faith, it rests in the future, but it rests because the future is in his hands. We're not merely dreamers. We're not wishful thinkers. No, we have precious promises through the knowledge of Jesus to build our life on. And you and I should be certain, make certain that our children know it. Do they this morning? This is a mirror, right? It's right before us. Do they see? Is there evidence in my life? Okay, your presence in worship today is a great witness and testimony. They may not have gotten up. They may not have gone to church. That's all right. Your witness is a, God will use it and ask him to multiply it. Now listen, not just on Sunday, but listen now, throughout the week, I model the faith. I give evidence of the faith. They see it played out in my life. The life that I'm living, my priorities are God's priorities in my life. This isn't just, you know, throwing a blessing in here or there on the food, okay? This is fleshing out my faith. When a trial and a circumstance come, they see I don't fret, I don't fear. No, my faith rests in God. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a good giver. He's a supplier of all things. When we have need, man, grab your children's hands. Let's pray about this. When there's a trial that your children are facing, remind them of the faith of Joseph. Remind them of the faith of Esther. In the face of difficulties, that they rested and trusted in God. And your children can do the same too for such a time as this. That's what we need to do. When we understand, listen, God wants these blessings, not just for us, praise the Lord, but to the thousands. Why wouldn't I want that? Why wouldn't I bless them and pray over them and encourage them to embrace them for themselves so that their future is eternally secure? I want to invite you to bow your heads with me this morning, and let's be honest and look in our hearts, and let's be honest and look at our lives. Are my priorities ones that demonstrate that I walk by faith, that I'm trusting in Christ, that I'm leading my children to take measured steps of faith, trusting in him?